السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers and our sisters who are listening over receivers and those who may be listening over streaming. Over the past few mornings, we had been focusing on the aspect of giving up sins from our lives, which is ultimately the real objective and purpose of this Mubarak month of Ramadan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, that كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. We have heard this ayat and this verse over and over again. That why has fasting been made compulsory upon us? The main and primary goal and focus was to attain and achieve the quality of taqwa. And once again, to emphasize that even if a person fasted the entire month of Ramadan, he performed all his taraweeh during the month of Ramadan, but if he didn't acquire this quality of taqwa, then unfortunately, he has not really achieved the true goal and purpose of the fast of the month of Ramadan. This is further substantiated by the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الظَّمَى. There are many individuals who fast, but they get nothing out of their fast except thirst, and except staying away from some hunger. That's all they are achieving. وَرُبَّ قَائِبٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ. And there are many individuals who stand for the Taraweeh prayer at night, but all they get from standing in the prayer at night is staying away from sleep. That is all. In other words, the real purpose and the real essence of the month of Ramadan has not been achieved. Because the fasting, the purpose of the fasting was to develop within an individual the ability to restrain himself. That a person restrains from those things which are normally permissible for him. That same concept and that same capability and that same potential that was created within him should then filter through the rest of his life. In other words, when he goes to his workplace, now he has to try and implement that new acquired ability in his workplace, restrain himself from anything that is violating the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his business, in his activities, in his relationships, everything then should be in conformance with the pleasure and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In keeping with this, we then elaborated on four actions which our ulama-i-kiram and our kabirin and the ahlullah have advised, that if a person implements these four actions, then inshallah it will become very easy for him to do the rest of deen. As Hazrat Ilyasab rahmatullah alayhi, in the work of Dawat and Tabligh, the great work of Dawat and Tabligh, had given and had listed 6 points. So he said that if a person brings these 6 points into his life, then inshallah the entire deen will come in his life. He didn't say that the 6 points was the whole deen. That also we mustn't misunderstand things. He said that if a person brings these 6 points in his life, then inshallah to practice on the rest of deen will become easy. In the same way, our kabirin have said, bring these 4 actions in your life and learn to stay away from these 4 major sins, these 4 challenging sins. It will then become easy for you to give up the rest of the sins in your life. So may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. But we had elaborated, and the first one was external, or first two were external, that the person, the male, should try and keep a full fist beard. The second was to ensure that the trousers and pants was kept above the ankles. And each of these has been elaborated and substantiated from authentic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We then went on to the more internal sins, and that was the lowering of one's gaze. Very challenging in today's society and in today's technologically advanced world that we live in, to control one's gaze on the devices also, on the internet. And then we went on to, yesterday we had just touched on the aspect of controlling the heart and mind. Now this controlling of the heart and mind is so important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the verse, That all these aspects, inna sam'a, wal basara, wal fu'ad, that the person's eyesight, the person's hearing, the person's heart, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be a question, a person will be asked with regards to the manner in which he used all these things. Now the person in his heart, sometimes the person outwardly, you see, this is the thing, that we cannot see what is in the next person's heart. I can't see what's in your heart, neither can you see what's in my heart. That's why we can never judge any individual. We do not know with what intention a person is, doing something. Sometimes we may feel that this person here, or must be he's doing this here to show off. Or must be he's making khidmat or giving water to all the people because he wants some kind of name and fame. Or must be this person is contributing so much to the masjid so that he can get some kind of name and fame. Or most probably this person is sitting in the first saf because he wants to attract some attention and show the people how pious he is. So we can never say, we can't see what is in the next person's heart. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ظُنُّوا بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ خَيْرًا. Always harbor good opinions with regards to every single believer. Always make an excuse for him. Have a good opinion. With regards to ourselves, we should be very suspicious. With regards to ourselves, there we should be very suspicious. That why am I doing this? Am I not doing it for, if I am like Tawbah and Istighfar, I must only do it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Why suddenly when he praised me, I felt very like I achieved something. Perhaps I'm doing it for some name and fame. So we should be very suspicious on ourselves. But with regards to others, harbor good opinions. There was one great sheikh who made it a precondition that if anyone wanted to become bayat on his hands, so the precondition was that you must make a firm pledge of allegiance that you will always have a good opinion with regards to the next person. Always. So that was the condition. But the murids, they had their reservations. So on one occasion, they were walking with the sheikh along the shores of the ocean. And whilst walking along the shores of the ocean, they saw on close to the shores of the ocean, there was a woman who was dressed in a very indecent manner. And on her lap, she had a man, and the man was resting on her lap, and he also was dressed in a very indecent manner. This woman had a bottle in her hand, a beer bottle in her hand, a wine bottle in her hand. So now the murid said, Hazrat, you say we must have good opinions. But now, yeah, it's quite clear. You can see clearly, this woman is a woman of loose morals. There's the beer in her hand. You can see it with our own eyes. You can see the beer in her hand. And the man too, he's got his head on a lap. You can see most probably some kind of zina or adultery must have taken place here. And some kind of vice and sin must have taken place here. Now, it's very hard to have a good opinion. How are we going to do it now? Now it's absolutely clear. So the sheikh said, no. You can't. You still cannot have a bad opinion. He said, Hazrat, we can see them. He said, come, let's go. So they went close, and the sheikh addressed and made salam from a distance, or greeted from a distance. And immediately this woman responded and replied with a salam. She turned out to be a very elderly woman. She said, oh people, please help us. We are very, very poor people. We have just been shipwrecked, and all our clothing and whatever we had, that all got destroyed. And this is my son here on my lap. He has got high fever. I managed to find one bottle here on the shore of the ocean. So I quickly washed this bottle, and I'm trying to bring his fever down. So the sheikh said, see, what you would have thought, where you would have sent this person to, and what they turned out to be. They actually turned out to be people who actually need of our help and assistance. That we should actually be showing them some kind of sympathy and some kind of kindness. And you all were actually looking at them with an eye of disgust. So never, ظُنُّوا بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ خَيْرًا. Always have a good opinion with regards to the next person. To such an extent that our Kabirin have stated that if a person is performing salah in the saf, and on his side an elderly person comes, and outwardly the person doesn't have a beard, the person's trousers below his ankles, we're not justifying those actions, but we do not know the next person's. These sins that we are addressing, it's for us, for ourselves. We mustn't point the finger at the next person. Oh, I hope such and such person was in Maulana's bayan, because he actually needs to listen to it. So this is our problem, is that we point fingers at others, but we don't realize we've got so many more fingers pointing at ourselves. So we should address everything to ourselves first. So even if an elderly person is standing next to us, and outwardly his condition is far, far away from deen, now shaitan will whisper, see, mashallah, tum to pahunch gaya, you already reached the levels of wilayat, this chap here is on his way to the fire of Jahannam. So shaitan will whisper those kind of things in a person's heart and mind. So then the person should, the antidote for that is this, that tell yourself that, you see, this man is 60, 65, 50, I'm only 18 or 20. So how do I know? Maybe for 50 years, this person spent his life in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And now shaitan and nafs got the better of him. And now 1 or 2 or 3 years, he slipped, and now he's going in the wrong direction. But actually, this man has got 50 years of good deeds on his scale. And he's only got about 4 or 5 years of bad deeds. How do I know what my condition is? I'm obeying Allah Ta'ala now. I'm 20 or I'm 18 and I'm obeying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But how do I know shaitan and nafs could get the better of me and I could turn out to be worse than him? That the rest of my life is in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. So in that sense, this man is far better than me. And if it's a young person that is next to us and he seems to be far, far away from deen, his hair is inappropriate, probably got earrings too, his trousers are below his ankles, clean shaven, he's looking like some kind of a person who came out from a disco. Then too, the person should tell himself that this person, now shaitan and nafs has gotten the better of him. The person when he's young, ashababu shu'batun min al-junoon, that youth is a branch of madness. So now the person has gone, you know, his emotions has taken the better of him. How do I know? Perhaps tomorrow he could make such sincere tawbah, aise waise kaise kaise ho gaye, that this person could make such tawbah that suddenly from the farsh, from the ground, the person can reach the arsh. He can go right to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala's throne. So never, ever, ever, ever look down upon the next person. This is a dangerous sin. We need to control ourselves. And this is one sickness that has become so prevalent in our society, that we're always looking down upon the next person. We always are suspicious of the next person. Sometimes we just don't know what is the reason behind a person doing what he is doing. So therefore, we thought we'll go more into this aspect, but whatever Allah Ta'ala put in the heart and mind, Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial. And most importantly, Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to implement it in our lives and always harbor a good opinion with regards to the next believer. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.